always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Greetings, good people of the planet Earth and the known universe. You're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast. This is your Captain Keith, and got some entertainment news for you, of course. Once again, keeping up with Kanye. Kanye West apologizes to Drake. Gwyneth Paltrow and vaginal egg settlement with her Goop company. And Elvin from The Cosby Show gets found again, and not in the way that he wanted, but yeah. So we'll talk about all those things and much, much more. So let's start off. Kanye West is officially back in the Chi. He's back in Chicago, at least he was last week. He caught flack over the past few years for many Chicago natives. Despite the fact that he named his youngest daughter after his hometown, many felt that he abandoned it, especially after the Rhymefest / Donda House feud. Earlier today, he made his way to a WGCI radio station in Chicago for an in-depth interview where he touched on pretty much everything. However, the real reason he's in Chicago is because he's working on Chance the Rapper's new album. After Kanye West's 5-album rollout earlier this summer, he's now getting ready to lock in time with Chance the Rapper. The talk surrounding this project has been floating around since June, and Chance confirmed this would be coming into fruition shortly after. While it doesn't seem like they're currently working on their joint project, Kanye will be doing some on Chance the Rapper's album, of course, producing it. I came out here with Chance to work on this album, on his album, and I've just been hanging out with my friends, Kanye West said to Fox 32 News. Although many have questioned what Kanye has done for the city of Chicago, the rapper revealed that he not only has music to be made, but feels like there's something he could do to help. It's a super inspiring place that made me who I am, and I believe there's some work that I can contribute to, he said. It feels like after the chaotic few years for Kanye West, maybe going back to a stomping ground might do him some good. Yeah, possibly. Nothing wrong with going back home from time to time, so we understand. And yes, I know you want to know about this. Oh, yeah. Kodak Black's probation is over in drug case report. Yeah. Yes. Picture of Kodak Black looking like he is probably. Yeah, he's definitely influenced by Lil Wayne. I can just look at him and I can tell. Definitely. The cross on the forehead, the way he's got his hairstyle. Yeah. The big old sunglasses. Yeah, definitely. Kodak's probation ended based on recommendation from the Department of Corrections. Kodak Black was officially released from prison a little over a week ago. The rapper seems to be in good spirits, although he hasn't made his first public outing since getting out. However, it looks like things are getting even better for him as Kodak's probation in the criminal case has been officially terminated. Really? Okay. A judge has officially ended Kodak Black's probation in his criminal case for weed and drugs. That's what was reported. On Monday, August 27th, court documents were filed in Kodak's case that revealed the Department of Corrections recommended that the rapper's probation be officially terminated. Due to this, the case is now closed. Kodak Black was sentenced to 1 year in county jail, although he was released much earlier than expected. I'm about to back up on that one. The rapper faced his judgment in April after he pled guilty to 2 probation violations, driving on a suspended license and associating with people committing crimes. It's real important to spell check and grammar check your articles before you publish them. Just saying. especially if you know that you have anchors who are going to read them. So, police raided Kodak Black's home in Pembroke Pines, Florida, back in January. The rapper caught numerous charges after police saw him with guns and weed in his home while his child was present. Oh, man. During his time in jail, Kodak Black passed his GED, which is good, earned his high school diploma. Most recently, he showed interest in attending college and asked his social media following which school they think he should go to. Now, that's the best part of that story. Right on. Judge declines to dismiss Harvey Weinstein's 2014 sex trafficking case. Harvey Weinstein is not getting let off the hook for his despicable acts. Last month, a bombshell interview with Harvey Weinstein was released where the former film mogul admitted to offering acting roles to women in exchange for sex. Oh, man. But so did and still does everyone. No, he didn't. No, this grown man didn't say this. Bobby did it too. Johnny did it too. Let me read you the line. Wow. Okay, I'm going to back up. We're going to slow it down and rewind this. I want you all to hear every word of this story. So, of course, so I'm going to start over again with this because it's that important. I'm going to slow down for this one because I can't believe what I'm about to read. So, once again, folks, I can't even make this stuff up. I love it. Last month, a bombshell interview with Harvey Weinstein, was released where the former film mogul admitted to offering acting roles to women in exchange for sex. Quote, but so did and still does everyone, unquote, he described when admitting his truth, adding, I was born poor, ugly, Jewish, and had to fight all my life to get somewhere. No girl looked at me until I made it big in Hollywood. So that gives you excuse to have horrific behavior? Really? Wow. Okay. No, that doesn't excuse the behavior. Not at all. According to Variety, the judge is now not allowing his sex trafficking case to be dismissed after model actress Cadian Noble filed a complaint last year alleging that Harvey violated a federal sex trafficking law when he sexually assaulted her in a hotel room in Cannes, France, 4 years ago. Harvey Weinstein was able to force or coerce Cadian into sexual activity in his hotel room because of his promise to her of a film role and use of his influence on her behalf, the documents read. By the way, there are people who are born poor, who may not be conventionally attractive, who fight to have everything they have in their life, and they still are able to have healthy, positive, productive, loving relationships with the opposite sex and the same sex. So, yeah. Anyway, for an aspiring actress, meeting a world-renowned film producer carries value in and of itself. Judge Robert W. Sweet wrote in his ruling, the opportunity, moreover, for the actress to sit down with that producer in a private meeting to review her film reel and discuss a promised film role carries value that is career-making and life-changing. The contention, therefore, that Noble was given nothing of value, that the expectation of a film role, a modeling meeting of his people being in touch with her, had no value, does not reflect modern reality. However, the judge did dismiss Cadian's allegations that Harvey's brother was in on it and helped set up the assault. So that's good to know. So what's been reported, the brother had nothing really to do with any of these things that his brother Harvey is being accused of. In more news, 40-year-old virgin actor Shelley Malil granted parole after almost killing girlfriend. The famed actor is being released from prison after stabbing his girlfriend 23 times. Shelley Malil is an actor famous for playing Aziz in 40-year-old Virgin alongside Steve Carell. According to reports, Shelley is set to be released from prison after being sentenced for stabbing his girlfriend 23 times and nearly killing her in 2010. The 53-year-old will be released from the Chuckawalla Valley State Prison in Blythe, California, after a reassessment of his case, thinks he poses, excuse me, after reassessment of the case, it's been stated that he poses no risk of committing violence in the future. The stabbing happened after Shelley came home and found his girlfriend, Kendra Beebe, or B-E-E-B-E, if I'm saying it properly. She was having wine on the patio with another man. Kendra responded to the publication via text message saying she is as shocked by the decision and calls the system broken. So you stabbed your girlfriend because she was having wine with another guy? Wow. Today, these men had a chance to take real action, showing that we as a society value women and will protect them, Kendra wrote. For this, I am sad because of their inaction. I will continue to live in fear. Quote, unquote. I am fully invested in my rehabilitation and I never want to create another victim again, Shelley told the court, adding how he takes full responsibility for everything I did. He will be released in 2 weeks and remain on supervised parole for 5 years. That is just, I don't even know what to say about that. It's just sad all the way around. And what's going on with HBO? What? You want to know? I'll tell you. HBO has stopped airing and streaming their late night adult content. What? No more Real Sex Volume 3000? Seriously? The days of real sex are behind us. If you grew up in the 90s, there's a good chance you remember the softcore porn videos that will pop up on premium cable channels after hours. In fact, it was almost like a childhood ritual as a boy during a slumber party to try and sneak on some adult content with your friends while the parents were out of sight. Most of the videos were artsy takes on nudity and sex, and genitals of of either sex were never shown. That was just funny to even have that sentence. Artsy takes on nudity and sex and genitals. Instead, viewers got to see breasts and the occasional male butt. Now, according to the Los Angeles Times, HBO is set to pull the plug on their late night sexual shows. What? That's like HBO, like, it's like a part of what they are. I mean, that's just really sad. It is a rite of passage. And, you know, and the Real Sex movies or series was really actually very informative, very interesting, and very entertaining. It was always just great writing. Just, you'll never see a series like that. It was very unique and very cool, actually. It wasn't just about sex. It was about more than that. I mean, yeah, sex is what brings you into that show. But the people that they're interviewing, their interactions, what people like, what their fetishes are, what you know, the different things you may not know about, you know, when it comes to sex that people are doing from all over the world, and sometimes in your backyard or your neighbor next door or the small town, nudist colony, splashing. I mean, it's just all very, it was very cool series. It just was. HBO was very unique in that regard compared to the other premium movie channels. Over the past several years, HBO has been winding down its late night adult fare. An HBO representative told the publication, while we're greatly ramping up our other original program offerings, there hasn't been a strong demand for this kind of adult programming, perhaps because it's easily available elsewhere. The move by HBO makes sense, since nobody in the current generation uses television for their pornography. I guess that is true. Okay. We have the internet and smartphones now, something that did not exist on the level it does now back in the 90s. HBO has stopped streaming their adult content and is pulling the plug on airing the sexual documentaries on cable. Well, there it is, folks. Ashes to ashes. The end of real sex on HBO. And that Katie Morgan show, too, they used to do. That was fun to watch, too. Yeah. Ben Affleck returns to rehab after a short visit with Shauna Sexton. So Ben Affleck has returned to rehab in Malibu, California, after being spotted at a specific Palisades home on Wednesday. The 46-year-old actor was snapped dressed casually in black shorts and a hoodie, marking his first sighting since entering rehab 2 weeks ago. He also met up with his rumored love interest, Playboy model Shauna Sexton, as her blue car was spotted at his home. It's been stated that Affleck was at home working out, but has not yet left treatment. On Wednesday afternoon, Affleck was snapped, being driven back to rehab, and he appeared to be in good spirits while looking at his phone. There's a picture of it. And there will be more, Mr. Affleck, after this break.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Once again, welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast. This is your Captain Keith, and we were talking about Mr. Ben Affleck. Some more news with him and his rehab. So meanwhile, Mr. Affleck's estranged wife, Jennifer Garner, who drove him to rehab on August 22nd, was busy promoting her new action film, Peppermint, in New York City on Wednesday. The 46-year-old actress looked chic in a white sleeveless dress and nude heels while exiting the Greenwich Hotel. So, and actually, I saw the preview for that film. It looks pretty good. It kind of reminds me of her when she was in Alias. So, I'm looking forward to watching it. Our source states that Garner knows Affleck met up with the 22-year-old sexton on Wednesday and is frustrated with the situation, given that the actor's friends have concerns about his relationship with the model. He had stayed in touch with Shauna the entire time he was in rehab, and the people at the facility and friends had huge concerns about it because she isn't sober, the source says. She is a huge red flag to everyone that is trying to support Ben with this process. Sean is giving him false confidence, and that is their biggest concern. Jen knows he is back at the house with Sean, and she is painfully frustrated, the source continues. She knows he has to do this for himself. Meanwhile, the source says Affleck is continuing to work on himself during his third stint in rehab. It's been learned that Affleck is being allowed to work out a few hours a day at his home on in treatment, and is always accompanied by a sober coach and therapist. It has been an intensive challenge, but he had no choice, the source says. For Ben, this was a life and death situation. It was very dire, and that is the main reason Jen had no choice but to get involved. He believes he is strong enough to venture outside the facility with sober coaches, the source says. Kanye West apologizes to Drake on Twitter, amid rap feud. I love we live in a new age, this digital age now, where people apologize using social media and, you know, don't do something, I don't know, traditional like face-to-face apology or, you know, phone call. You know, I guess that old archaic stuff. Back in the day, people used to talk on the phone. Kanye West appears to be trying to make amends with Drake after months of back-and-forth feuding. Early Wednesday morning, West took to Twitter to post a lengthy apology and explanation behind what led to the rapper's beef. Sending good energy and love to Drake and family and crew, he captioned a screenshot of Drake's stage. I haven't seen this show in person, but the images look incredible online. I understand where the confusion started. The 41-year-old rapper went on to directly apologize for stepping on your release date in the first place. West surprised fans when he released Ye on June 1st, while Drake dropped his album Scorpion a few weeks later on June 29th. West said that when he announced release dates for the many albums he was producing at the time, I was a bit ramped up doing 25 tweets a day. TMZ happened shortly after. During his appearance on TMZ Live in May, the rapper caused controversy when he claimed slavery was a choice. He has since apologized for those comments. West goes on to tweet that during this time, he and Drake were building as friends and brothers. That was until the release of Pusha T's album, Daytona, on May 25th, which West produced. The album included 2 diss tracks, Infrared and The Story of Added On, aimed at Drake, one of which alleged that the 31-year-old rapper had a secret son, while some fans thought it was West that disclosed this information to Pusha. The father of three insisted that he did not. I should have spoken to Pusha about the Quentin Miller bar. There should have been more songs with my involvement that had any negative energy towards you. His Twitter apology continued. I never listened to either diss track that followed, but I did hear quotes from both songs after they were released. I did not have any conversations about your child with Pusha. Wes further noted, I don't play with the idea of people's children after I spoke to Wiz a few years earlier. I understand Pusha's issues as a man if someone mentions your fiance. Men go mask off. I've done the same myself at times. I love you and I love Pusha, and we all have an admiration for each other's craft. Yeah, okay. Wes ended his lengthy apology by promising to see one of Drake's concerts. This is all Jedi level. I will be coming to your show within the next 7 days to give love and be inspired by the art you have created, he vowed. West's apology came not long after a snippet of French Montana's new song, No Stylist, was released, which features Drake and a possible diss. In the song, which has not been released yet, Drake raps, I told her don't wear any 350s around me. This is the name of West's sneaker line. The apology and the alleged diss lyric both occurred after a fan theory alleged that the Kiki in Drake's song, In My Feelings, might be West's wife, Kim Kardashian West. Kim later denied to ever having a romantic relationship with the rapper. Last week, Drake also seemed to react to West's interview on the 107.5 WGCI morning show, where he said he felt Drake was insensitive to continue their feud while West was having a difficult time. We understand that he got upset about the story of Adidon, he shared. I feel that it was insensitive for him to in any way stress me out in any way after TMZ. While I'm in Wyoming, healing, pulling the pieces together, working on my music. But you sound so insensitive when you say that. Yeah, wow. I love this. Wes claimed the two feuded over a beat, which resulted in Drake sending him purple demon emojis. Drake seemingly responded to the interview by posting a photo of himself and captioning it with a purple demon emoji. Back in June, Drake's producer, Jay Prince, also said he told the rapper not to release a second diss track in response to the story of Adidon because it would have ended West's career and definitely would have hurt families. And we're not in for that, Jay Prince said on Sway in the morning. That's not Drake's character to tear a man down to that extent. Yeah, but something's wrong with that. So how are you going to tell a rapper who's in the middle of a rap beef to not release, you know, his comeback record? His retaliation record. I mean, Pusha T's song was huge and it was very damaging. And for you to tell the artist that you did discover, so he had loyalty to you, not to retaliate, you basically told him to fall on his sword. And that's just, yeah, I don't agree with that at all. No, and maybe one day we'll hear that song that Drake made. Where he comes back after what Pusha T said about him. I mean, if there is a song, another possibility is that that song doesn't exist. You know, I mean, I don't know. But if that song does exist, you know, we'd like to hear it. So, because, you know, in the rap world, you know, if you don't come back after someone, you know, when a rap beef is started, you know, verbally, and if you don't come back lyrically, it just messes with your status. But, you know, Scorpion came out. It's a huge success for Drake. It's a good album. You know, he's doing his thing. So. Nicki Minaj talks wanting sex three times a night. If you can't hang, goodbye. Quote, end quote. I love it. Nice picture of Nicki looking upwards with her blonde wig on. Nicki Minaj knows what she wants. After rapping about wanting sex three times a night in her new song, Barbie Dreams, the 35-year-old rapper opens up about her bedroom demands on Tuesday's episode of Ellen, the Ellen DeGeneres show. I love it. Her bedroom demands. Wow. And if a guy said he had bedroom demands, yeah, well, it wouldn't be a good look for him. If you have someone that you don't see on a regular basis, if you see them once or twice a week, then yeah, three times a night, Minaj insists. When I see you three times a night, and if you can't hang, goodbye, I'm not wasting my time. But wait, folks, there's more. As for the timing, Minaj adds, no more than a half an hour between each thing. Okay, that's fair. Her demands don't stop there. I hate cuddling after. Once I get mine, if I feel really, really great, then leave me alone. She quips. Yeah, yeah, I'm not making this up. Minaj is also not a big fan of foreplay. Definitely get to it. Do your foreplay stuff. Do what you have to do and hurry up, she says. I ain't got time for all of that. Okay. The Chun-Li MC also shuts down rumors that she dated Drake, but shyly admits that there's a new boy in her life. Fairly new. He's been around for a couple weeks now. I'm just chilling, she shares. I've always been in a relationship my whole life. I was in a relationship since I was 15 years old. This is the first time that I'm single and I'm happier. I'm more free. I used to feel like I had to have a man. And I want every woman out there to know you absolutely don't. Okay, that's fair. Minaj further addresses her ongoing feud with rapper Travis Scott, declaring, I felt like I wanted to punch him in his effing face. It's not anger. It's just what's right and what's wrong, what's fair. Last month, Minaj took to Twitter to shade Scott, accusing him of using girlfriend Kylie Jenner's fame to promote his new music. She has also had a problem with him selling merchandise and tickets for his upcoming tour with album downloads and having those count as album sales. That's just called business. And if you have a girlfriend who's your baby mama, and she's famous and successful, and she offers to help you with your career, why would you say no? It's just when you have a number two album to someone who's selling shirts and merch and is selling passes for a tour that's not even announced yet. It feels like you're being tricked, she explains to the generous. It feels like someone is playing a game and beating you at a game as opposed to just selling music. I want to sell music. You're supposed to sell merchandise and tickets. Yes. Sounds like someone's having a problem understanding that this is now Cardi B's time. Minaj says that despite some backlash or public attacks on Scott, she doesn't plan to back down anytime soon. I don't like being bullied, and I don't like being taken advantage of. And sometimes people use scare tactics against you because they know, especially as a black woman, that people will call you angry or bitter, she says. So now it's almost like we're not allowed to defend ourselves or stand up for ourselves. I'm not going to have that. And to quote Jay-Z, okay. okay. Yeah. The story of Nicki Minaj. Anthony Anderson cleared by LA DA's office of assaulting woman. That's right, folks. Anthony Anderson of Black-ish fame. Hit comedy TV series on ABC, Black-ish. We bet Anthony Anderson is jumping for joy. That's because the actor won't have to face charges for allegedly assaulting a woman. As was reported earlier, Anderson was accused of the attack earlier this year when a woman went to the LAPD. The specifics of her claim were unclear, but were enough to trigger a police report and then have the case shipped off to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. However, on Friday, law enforcement sources said the DA's office rejected the case, deciding not to charge the Black-ish star with anything because the woman refused to cooperate and there was not enough evidence to go forward. So, wow. It's unfortunate that anyone can file a police report, whether it's true or false. A rep for Anthony said when the accusations were first made public, the authorities have not contacted Anthony or any of his representatives about this matter. Anthony unequivocally disputes the claim, he added. Okay. Well, hey, that's it. All right. So, definitely, I think I told you guys last week that with this entertainment podcast, I definitely wanted to spice some things up and make things more interesting because entertainment is such a huge, broad spectrum of things that can entertain us human beings. And I got to tell you that I want to talk about two movies that I saw last week and give you like my little mini review on them. So we'll do that after this break. So don't go anywhere. And once again, you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast. Captain Keith, be back in the flash.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
And we're back. Once again, you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. And I wanted to talk to you about some movies I saw last week. I saw Crazy Rich Asians and I saw Kin. So the first one I saw was Crazy Rich Asians. And, you know, I found out, I guess I was, you know, the last to know, apparently. That movie, that comedy was based off of a book, a trilogy written by Kevin Kwan. K-W-A-N, and the director of the new film, the hit comedy, Crazy Rich Asians, is John M. Chu. And one of the things I found out about this, I remember when they were advertising the movie, doing their press junket on it, it was talked about how this film was a big deal and why, because apparently, let's see, it's the first all Asian American cast for a film since the Joy Luck Club in 1993. So there hasn't been an all Asian American film casted and put out on the big screen since the Joy Luck Club in 1993. So from that into 2018, you get Crazy Rich Asians now. So when I remember hearing the director and the actors and actresses talking about that and just talking about the story, I was intrigued. And I was like, wow. And then I remember doing a news feature on the movie, you know, here on the podcast. And just the dialogue, I mean, just the conversation that was being held about, you know, representation and just getting your story out there. You know, America is a great country and is filled with, it's just a multi-ethnic country. And, you know, sometimes that just kind of gets forgotten and lost in translation when it comes to cinema. So I was intrigued. You know, I like a good romantic comedy if it's good. Can't be like a cliche, can't be stereotypical, can't be corny. It's got to be good. You could be a little corny if you're good. There's good corny and bad corny, but that's another conversation. But anyway, so I saw the film, and I want to tell you about it. I'm going to give you the premise that's described in the book is better than what they say in IMDb. So when New Yorker Rachel Chu agrees to spend the summer in Singapore with her boyfriend, Nicholas Young, she envisions a humble family home and quality time with the man she hopes to marry. But Nick has failed to give his girlfriend a few key details. One, that his childhood home looks like a palace. Two, that he grew up riding in more private planes than cars. And three, that he just happens to be the country's most eligible bachelor, in Singapore, that is. On Nick's arm, Rachel may as well have a target on her back. The second she steps off the plane, and soon her relaxed vacation turns into an obstacle course of old money, new money, nosy relatives, and scheming social climbers. And that is a great synopsis of this film. So I got to tell you, I'm probably going to read these books now because I enjoyed the movie. The film is directed by John M. Chu. Did a great job, and it's J-O-N, period, C-H-U. So, and the writers are Peter Chiarelli, screenplay by Adele Lim, screenplay, yep. And it says one more credit. What's the other credit? Let's see. And, based off of Kevin Kwan's book. Okay, yeah, we know that. All right. I figured that was going to be the bonus credit. So, The first scene you see in the movie is you see Michelle Yeoh, who you find out in the film. She actually plays Nick Young's mother. So, and her name is Eleanor Young, so she's Mrs. Young. So it's raining, and she's about to, she's bringing in her kids into the lobby. One child gets dirt on the hotel lobby floor, and I believe they're in England, they're in the UK. And so don't forget, her name is Mrs. Young. So when the Englishmen at the front desk see her, and they see the kid, you know, getting the mud or dirt off his boots on the floor, making a mess, you know, they're automatically like, oh no, she can't be here. So when she comes to the front desk and she's like, I'm Mrs. Young. I forget her husband's first name. And she's like, you know, we have a reservation. Can you tell us what our room is? You know, can you give us the key to our room? And the one Englishman looks down and he looks at the book and says, I'm sorry, I don't have a reservation for you. And she's like, well, I called and, you know, I reserved this certain suite. And he's just totally just, you know, he's just trying to get rid of her because he's thinking, I don't want this Asian woman in my English hotel with these children. He's not saying that, but that's how he's acting. So, you know, the opening scene is we see Eleanor Young, played by Michelle Yeoh, you know, we see how she has to deal with racism. So what she does is she asks to use the phone. She looks around, and then the manager comes, and the manager backs up the Englishman, and he's like, I'm sorry, man, we don't have a reservation for you. You should try down the street. And you know, Eleanor Young could be furious. She could go off. She could be like, you know what? You know, who are you? Who the hell are you? You know, she doesn't do that. She smiles. She shows her composure, shows her class and grace, because she has her kids with her, and they're watching, you know. And kids are like sponges. They pick up on everything, no matter how young they are, you know. So she smiles and she says, well, can I use your phone at least? I can make a phone call. So the next scene, she's outside at the phone booth where, you know, where it's raining with the kids, having to make, you know, use the pay phone. She makes a phone call, walks back into the hotel, and then the manager and the front door receiving clerk, or the concierge, I said, we'll call him, I suppose. They're like, oh, man, you're going to have to leave. And then you see the elevator open up, and this older Englishman comes out. Now, at first, I didn't know if that was her husband or who it was, but it wasn't. And when the manager and the concierge see him, they stiffen up like, oh, we're going to get rid of her. And he walks right past him and he hugs Eleanor Young. He's like, it's so good to see you and the kids. And he says, hey, these two are, you know, this woman is one of my, her and her husband are some of my dearest, are one of our dearest friends. And he's like, you need to take them up to their room now. And he says to the English manager and concierge, this older Englishman with his white hair and thick white mustache. He says to them, to these two men, he says, by the way, and I'm paraphrasing, Mrs. Young and her husband have bought this hotel. You know, we're no longer the owners of this hotel. You're looking at your new owner. He says, so just so you know, they own the hotel now. This is your new boss. So you know the two of them look like they saw a ghost because they didn't expect that. They didn't expect this woman, who's Asian, with her children, to be their new boss. Preconceived notions, you know. So, and then she just smiled. And I forget what she said to them, but she wasn't mean or anything. Oh, she said, you know, make sure you clean up the lobby. The mess isn't going to clean up itself. She said something to that effect. And her son just looks back and smiles as they walk to the elevator. And then the next scene is of Rachel Chu, played by Constance Wu. She's one of the main characters. She's playing a card game. And you find out that it's just all strategy. It's like poker. She was playing poker or something. And she beat the person. And then you find out once the lights, you know, the lights are low and it's just table. You think she's in a casino. But then when the lights come back on, you see she's in a lecture hall. you find out she's a professor of economics and strategy, and she was teaching strategy to her student. And when she showed her cards, he found out that she was bluffing, and she's like, "Oh, but you have these certain tells, so I knew I could bluff with you." She goes, I knew I could beat you." So, you know, and the classmates are very engaged in what she's saying. Yeah, but you find out that she's just this, you know, she's this professor of economics, and her character is really nice. Rachel Chu is very nice, very humble, very sweet, and very down to earth. So, and you can tell that she's someone who is, she's just, when you watch her in a movie, you'll like her too. You know, you'd want to meet, you'd want to bring her home to mom too. That's what I'd say. So, and then it goes from that to her meeting up with her boyfriend, Nick Young, played by Henry Golding. Great leading character, leading man. The two of them had really great chemistry together. I really liked him. He has an English accent because, you know, he went to English boarding school, of course. And, you know, he asked, they're at some restaurant, sitting at like the bar, and he asked her if she would come meet his mom, and because he has to go back for his cousin's wedding. And she's like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah." So, I mean, that's a big step. You know, anytime, you know, your significant other is asking you if you want to meet their parents, that's usually a big deal. So, you know, because you usually have to like earn that right. You know, that's how I feel at least. So she's like, "Okay, yeah, that'd be great. Sure." And she's like, "What should I wear?" Well, no, I don't think she says that, but she's excited to meet his mom. And once she's like, "You never really talk about your parents that much." He's like, "Well, you know," he kind of dodges a little bit and evades, but he's excited about her coming with him to Singapore for this wedding. And then he tells her, you know, who she's going to meet. I mean, who's going to be there. And while they're there sitting, talking, having a good time, chatting it up. And she's like, "You know, I just wanted to go home and watch Netflix, you know?" So he's like, "Hey, I love doing that too, you know?" So like I said, so she doesn't know that Nick is filthy rich, and he doesn't talk about his family. And, you know, and when we all find out, you know, when you're watching the film, you're like, okay, well, you know, if you come from a wealthy family, you might always be concerned with wondering whether or not, well, does, you know, is she like me because of me, or does she like what I represent and the so-called status that my family has? Because whether you're a rich guy or a rich girl, if you grow up that way, you're going to have to be very cautious of people, because people a lot of times have ulterior motives. It's very rare to meet somebody who doesn't really care. Those are exceptional people. So, you know, she thinks that he's, you know, just a successful guy, this average guy. So, but while they're sitting at this bar talking, or at this restaurant talking, a lady recognizes Nick. So as soon as she sees him, she walks by with her girlfriend. She takes a picture, and then she texts it to all of her network. And the next thing you know, everybody knows that he's bringing someone to the wedding. And it gets back to his mother in Singapore while she's like having Bible study with her girlfriends. I mean, the network was ridiculous. It's just like, talk about God. I mean, when I watched the film, I was watching this gossip spread. It was like a whole new level of gossip networking. I was like, wow. All these different people. They're like, "Well, who is she? Because she took a picture of the girl. Who's Rachel Chu?" And then they're all trying to figure out what family she's from. So before Nick can even tell his moms that he's bringing his girlfriend, you know, she finds out from her Bible study, you know, girlfriends. It's crazy. So what's cool about this story is that, you know, Rachel eventually finds out. She finds out when they go on the airplane, because she's like, "Oh, you know, we're not in the first class." And, you know, they were so in first class. Their first class had their own little bar, private area, and their seats can turn into beds. Yeah, that's how first class they were. So that's when he eventually confesses, "Well, you know, my family's well off. You know, we do pretty well." So, but then he's still kind of keeping some stuff from her. But he starts to tell her about his cousins, because he's going to a close friend's wedding, and he's going to be able to, you know, his cousins are going to be there. His cousins that he grew up with, who are like his siblings. So they all kind of grew up together. And then you find out that Rachel has her college roommate lives in Singapore, named Paik Lin Ga, played by Awkwafina. And she's hilarious. She's great. Ken Jeong plays her dad, Wai Mung Go, and he's funny. And then she has a brother. I mean, so Rachel goes to see, you know, Paiklin go, and you know, she goes to like spend the day or two with her in her home. And then when she starts talking about her boyfriend, she's like, "Oh yeah, Nick Young." And then like, "Did you say Nick Young of the Youngs?" And that's when she finds out how serious it is, how wealthy they really are. And more about that movie after this break.
The average SUV has two blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
And we're back. Once again, you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast. So to wrap it up with Crazy Rich Asians, it's a great romantic comedy. It's about acceptance. It's about love. It's about, you know, realizing what's important in life. And it's also about tradition. What traditions should you keep? What should you break? Do you have the wisdom to know the difference? And it's just about having quirky relatives, like I think we all do. It was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. Definitely recommend watching it if you like a good comedy that's fun. Yeah, it's Michelle Yeoh was great as Eleanor Young. Did a great job. Everybody did a great job. But yeah, I'm definitely going to read the book. So, but I want to tell you about Ken, but I might save that for the next time. I need to get back and give you some more entertainment news. But yes, saw Crazy Rich Asians by John M. Chu. Excellent film. Check it out. And like I said, the movie was so good, I'm going to read the book. There's only one thing about the film that I had a slight issue with. But overall, it was definitely worth watching. It wasn't perfect, but it was definitely worth watching. Like I said, it was good enough that I want to read the book. So there that is. And then more entertainment news. Bobby Brown, y'all. BET's The Bobby Brown Story screening unveils surprising moments. When the spotlight is on R&B icon Bobby Brown, celebrities from far and wide come out to support. Paramount Studios hosted the extravagant and red carpet and screening soiree for BET's two-night The Bobby Brown Story, which stars Woody McClain, who plays Bobby Brown, and Gabrielle Dennis, who portrays the late R&B legend Whitney Houston. Cast members T.K. Carter, Lance Gross, and Yvonne Sinnott Jones, playing the role of Whitney Houston's best friend, Robin Crawford, and many more graced the red carpet to chat about their experiences of shooting this much-anticipated film. The excitement turned up a few notches as Bobby himself, along with fellow group members Bell Biv DeVoe, appeared at the event to show their support and pride in their lifelong friend and brother. Attendees, media, and fans of Bobby Brown had an opportunity to view part one of the screening. There were several moments of gasping, laughing, and whispering amongst each other as the night continued, clearly unveiling moments of Bobby Brown's life that were genuinely unknown to the public. The audience sang along and reminisced to many of the hits in the film that Bobby is known for. The Bobby Brown Story premiered last night? Yeah, September 4th, and concludes tonight, September 5th, at 9:00/8 Central. So be there or be square. Kim Kardashian returns to the White House. Okay, so what's really going on? Nice picture of Kim with Van Jones, Jared, and Ivanka, and I don't know who the other person is. Yep, Kim Kardashian is back at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. 3 months since she paid a visit to President Donald Trump on behalf of Alice Marie Johnson, whose lifetime prison sentence was commuted in June, the reality star has returned to the White House. The occasion, per Deputy Press Secretary Hogan Gidley, members of the administration are hosting a listening session on Wednesday about the clemency process, and Kardashian is one of the guests. The discussion is mainly focused on ways to improve that process to ensure deserving cases receive a fair review, Gidley said in a statement. The makeup mogul is slated to join first son-in-law Jared Kushner, as well as Jerron Smith, a special assistant to the president for domestic policy, Brooke Rollins, assistant to the president in the Office of American Innovation, and Chris Little, or Lydell. White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy Coordination. External guests include Rachel Barkow, criminal justice reform advocate Brittany Barnett, Alex Gudich, Mark Holden, Sean Hopwood, CNN host Van Jones, Paul Larkin, Leonard Leo, Mark Osler, Jessica Jackson Sloan, and Judge Kevin Sharp. Kardashian has clearly taken an interest in prison reform since becoming a public advocate for Johnson in the spring. It started with Miss Alice, but looking at her and seeing the faces and learning the stories of the men and women I've met inside prisons, I knew I couldn't stop at just one. It's time for real systematic change, she tweeted later on Wednesday. Good for you, Miss Kardashian West. Very impressive. I think that's very cool. In a recent interview for Jason Flom's Wrong for Conviction podcast, the mother of three discussed a variety of subjects, including the fact that she reads stacks of letters from inmates daily and spoke of Kevin Cooper, a death row inmate convicted of a murder who wants to have a DNA test. She teased exciting things after a conversation with Flom. We have some exciting things coming up that I can't wait to share with all of you, Kardashian wrote on her website. As it seems, the star is chugging along her newest passion. I'm still doing me, but I enjoy this, she previously told today's Hoda Kotb, if I'm saying her name right, of her advocacy work. This has fulfilled my heart since I feel so fulfilled. Why should I stop that? And there it is. Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop to pay $145,000 in vaginal egg settlement. Yeah. Picture of Miss Paltrow. Okay. While Goop believes there is an honest disagreement about these claims, the company wanted to settle this matter quickly and amicably. A statement from the company read, "This settlement does not indicate any liability on Goop's part. While the company has not received any complaints regarding these product claims, it is happy to fully refund any Goop customer who has purchased any of the challenged products." Chief Financial Officer Erica Moore further added in a statement, Goop provides a forum for practitioners to present their views and experiences with various products like the Jade Egg. The law, though, sometimes views statements like this as advertising claims, which are subject to various legal requirements. The task force assisted us in applying those laws to the content we published, and we appreciate their guidance in this matter as we move from a pioneer in this space to an established wellness authority. In an effort to provide accurate information about their products, Goop has also revealed the development of a new wellness portal, staffed by experienced nutritional science researchers, product safety experts, and traditional Chinese medicine doctors to vet all ingredients and claims for every ingestible product that we sell in Goop. Okay? That's fair. Jonas Brothers' hot double date with Priyanka and Sophie, Mama Chopra's fifth wheel. That's the headline. Picture of the Jonas Brothers with their significant others. There's Sophie from Game of Thrones. There's Priyanka with her mom. Yep, and there's Nick. And Joe. The family affair. Serena Williams is bringing families together, just as the Jonas Brothers, who brought along their hot fiancés and a future mother-in-law for another U.S. Open family double date. Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones finally came up for some air Tuesday and were joined by Nick and Priyanka Chopra at Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York City to watch the GOAT to do easy work on Karolina Pliskova, winning in straight sets. Then there's a picture of Joe and Sophie kissing. Remember, Joe's been spending tons of time with Sophie at the tournament in New York City, turning up with Kevin Jonas and his wife, Danielle, and doing some beer chugging and floss dancing. Joe and Sophie turned up the heat with their tongues. That might have been, like, on purpose. Things were way more PG on Tuesday, probably because Priyanka's mom, Madhu, was there, too. Priyanka posed with Nick and Mama Chopra for the gram and captioned it, hashtag fam jam. Click through the photo gallery to see all the other non-Jonas-related VIPs in the box. Yeah, I'm not going to do that, but okay. Michael Keaton, Gigi, and Bella Hadid, and L.A. Anthony, and Lala Anthony were all within arm's length. Good times had by all, except Pliskova. Okay. And there that is. Very cool. So I might get a chance to talk about Ken. Let's see. Okay. Well, I could talk about... Well, actually, let's see. Oh, I have one more story. Jeffrey Owens responds to Tyler Perry offering him a job after being shamed for bagging groceries. Yes, Jeffrey Owens, who used to play Elvin Tippadoo on The Cosby Show. So new doors are certainly opening for Jeffrey Owens after the 57-year-old actor was shamed for having a job at Trader Joe's. So Entertainment Tonight actually spoke to Owens, who's best known for playing Sandra Huxtable's doctor, husband, Elvin Tippadoo, on The Cosby Show, on Tuesday in New York City, where he talked about all the support he's received from fans and celebs alike after multiple outlets published photos of him bagging groceries at Trader Joe's in New Jersey. Since the headlines, Tyler Perry tweeted that he was offering Owens an acting gig on one of his own shows. I think that's amazing. And Tyler's tweet says, hashtag Jeffrey Owens, I'm about to start shooting Owens number one drama next week. Come join us. I have so much respect for people who hustle between gigs. The measure of a true artist. I agree. That was kind of cool, almost tells E.T. about the big opportunity. I mean, that kind of sounded like he was saying, come work with me. I'm so, like, skeptical. Like, really? Are you actually saying come work with me? Because we've never worked together before. So that's a very, very generous thing for him to say. And we'll see what happens with that. But that's encouraging. However, Owens admits to Entertainment Tonight that he hasn't actually seen any of Perry's shows, which include The Haves and Have-Nots. If Loving You Is Wrong. I don't want to be right. No, just it's just it's, it, no, excuse me. It's just If Loving You Is Wrong. I just got a little carried away there. And House of Payne, which is P-A-Y-N-E, not the rap group. this is going to sound funny. I'm not a TV watcher, Owen says with a laugh. Never have been. It's very ironic. I remember the day that my first Cosby Show aired back in 85. I barely owned a television. We had to borrow my brother's TV and set it up. It was this little dinky thing with the satellite, the little rabbit ears and stuff. In order to watch my first show, I'd never been a television watcher. Owens also stresses that he wants to earn the role rather than it be handed to him. I don't expect to be offered things, he explains. It would be lovely as one of the results of this, some doors open in terms of giving me the opportunity to audition. That I would appreciate. Always as all actors do. I don't necessarily feel comfortable being given things as a result of this. I mean, I'm not in a position to turn things down, but I don't expect that kind of thing. I like the idea of, you know, put me in the room with everyone else and see if I'm the right one for the job. Yes, Jeffrey Owens, I get that, but understand something. The proof is in the pudding. So whether someone gives you the job or you audition for it, you still have to act it out. So if your acting sucks, you won't get the job. So at the end of the day, it's still going to be about the talent that you have or don't have. So whether someone grants you a favor and opens a door for you, you still have to execute. You still have to perform. So either you're going to be good or you won't. So I wouldn't really be so concerned about earning your way. You're going to have to earn it anyway once they say action. So either you got it or you don't. When I quit, the guys at the store said, you know, don't quit. Let's keep it open. Let's have it like an indefinite leave of absence, he shares. Okay, that's cool. That's great. But basically, I left at that point because I felt like it's like just for my personal sake, my dignity and my emotional well-being. I didn't want to be in the store while I felt like people might be staking out the place as they did, actually. People came to the store and they were staking it out and stuff. I didn't feel like that was going to be good for my spiritual being. So I felt like I needed to at least temporarily step out. And I think that was the wise thing to do, actually. He also explains why he was particularly bothered by one of the unflattering articles, which contains an eyewitness account that referred to him as looking fat, bloated, as well as unhappy. Yeah, that is very mean and rude. Oh my gosh, it's like they have to say things like, with his stained shirt, bagging potatoes, and I love this. And the lady said, he looked fat, bloated, and unhappy. And I thought, what? As a Yale English major, I'm going to take exception with that, he jokes. Don't say fat and bloated. That's what we call repetitious. Just use one of those words. Don't use two. Just one is fine. And unhappy, you know? No, I was not unhappy. Now I was overjoyed that day. Maybe not. It's like, let's just describe this in the worst way possible. You know, with the picture down from below. I don't know. I wish those guys know. Ill will. I kind of feel sorry for them, and I hope they've learned the lesson. I hope bad karma turns into good karma, and we'll leave it at that. That's a very classy thing to say, Jeffrey. Clearly, Owens has hope in humanity after the outpouring of support he's received. Well, what they did was they appealed to the worst natures in people, And I think they were surprised to find that the better natures and people totally triumph in this case, he says. When I took the job at Trader Joe's, I was concerned that people would judge me, reject me, look down on me, he admits. I made a conscious effort not to let people in my industry know about it. And to a certain extent, that may have been wise because some people, they hear you're working at the kind of job, at that kind of job, they think you're out of the business. You're not interested in pursuing it anymore, and that wasn't true, so I didn't want anyone to think that. But even beyond that, I felt like I didn't trust people would be understanding about it. I mean, I get that. And as we can all see now, I could not have been more wrong. It's been across the board, the exact opposite reaction. Everybody's understanding, sympathetic, sensitive, you know, supportive, encouraging. I didn't trust people enough. I didn't give people enough credit, to be honest. During his interview, Owens proudly wore his Trader Joe's name tag. That was really cool. This is my Trader Joe's crew member pin, he happily explains. Shout out to number 610 in Clifton, New Jersey. Hey, guys. This is the pin we wear, and it's a great place. Great place to work. The guys there, everyone was really very good to me. The actor further explained why he chose to wear his pin in a touching gesture. It's not to be ashamed of work, but to be proud of whatever you do, you know. He says, so I deliberately brought it today, and I'm wearing it all day just to make a point that, you know, work is not something to be ashamed of, no matter what it is. When you make an honest day's living, that is correct. I agree. So, very happy for Mr. Owens. I'm, you know, rooting for you to go work with Tyler Perry. I'm pretty sure if you do, you won't regret it. You know, he's the man doing big things. So, awesome. And on that note, good people of the planet Earth and the known universe, thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. I had a good time. I hope you did. I appreciate you all. And as always, see you somewhere out in space.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.